Good morning. It's good to be here. Thank you. Recently, I was struck, not literally, by the verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 that says, "Cast your bread upon the waters." Because that's kind of an unusual picture. I only ever see people do that when they're feeding the ducks. So that verse, as I mused on it, reminded me of a restaurant. Larry Gregory, what's the name of the restaurant in Missouri that throws rolls at you? They actually do this. I was there a few years ago, and the waiters, they walk through the dining area, and they call out to see if anyone wants a roll. Hot rolls! And if you want one, they'll throw a hot one right to you. Their aim's usually pretty good. Of course, you have to watch out for hungry people right next to you who will reach in front of you to steal it. But they have plenty. They may hand you another one if your neighbor gets to it first. And it's a two-way street. They throw, you catch, everyone goes home happy. Jesus said not to labor for the bread which perishes, but that he was, in fact, the bread of life. A gift from the Father, the original throne bread. He came down to us hungry souls because we could not come to him, just so that we would have what we were meant to have and be filled like a hot buttered homemade roll, only much better. And then he made us the church, the original home of the throne bread. We have received the bread, and now it is our turn to offer it to the world so that we may rejoice together. So first, some details about bread. The Bible has a great many references to bread. Most of them point to Christ and the kingdom. In John chapter 6, verses 35 and 48 and 51, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. No one who comes to me will ever be hungry. I am the bread of life. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." And we remember and celebrate that every Sunday at communion. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10, "Now the one who provides seed for the sower and bread for food will provide and multiply your seed and increase the harvest of your righteousness." Nehemiah 9:15, "You provided bread from heaven for their hunger." Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, "He humbled you by letting you go hungry. Then he gave you manna to eat, which you and your fathers had not known, so that you may learn that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Amen. We have the stories in the Gospels of the 5,000 who were fed from bread and fish multiplied by Jesus and distributed by the disciples. And then the 4,000 more who were fed from bread and fish multiplied by Jesus and distributed by the disciples. John chapter 6 again, verses 32 and 33. Jesus said to them, "I assure you, Moses didn't give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the real bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Matthew chapter 6, 31 and 32. "So don't worry, saying, 'What will we eat?' For your heavenly Father knows that you need these things." Luke chapter 24, verse 35. The disciples on the road to Emmaus, when they returned to Jerusalem, began to relate their experiences on the road and how Jesus was recognized by them at the breaking of the bread. In Matthew 16 and in Mark 8, Jesus warns his disciples, watch out, beware of the leaven or the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and of Herod. There's a murderer's row for you. Pharisees murdered Jesus, the Sadducees murdered everyone's afterlife, and Herod murdered his own family. Luke 13:21 and Matthew 13:33. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven or yeast that a woman hid in several measures of flour until it was all leavened. Matthew 26:26. Mark 14:22. Luke 22:19 and 1 Corinthians 11:24 all make reference to communion. Jesus said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 and 46, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. They broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and singleness of heart. It's a lot of bread. Seems to be pretty important. Bread is nourishment for us. God provided it in Old Testament stories to nourish bodies, but in the New Testament, He provides Himself to nourish our souls and spirits eternally. The church, the kingdom of God, affects this world as yeast affects bread. Therefore, we must carefully avoid the pervasive false doctrines that guide this world in like manner. And sharing bread is a way to maintain our fellowship within the body. Jesus is, to us, as important and basic as bread is to a healthy body. Allergies aside, bread or bread equivalents are foundational to meals worldwide. Can you imagine Mexican food without corn chips or tortillas? Chinese food with no rice or noodles? Italian food with no pasta? That's the motto for you. Sandwiches with no top or bottom? Perish the thought. That is how integral Jesus is to us, for He is life. The way, the truth, the life, the bread, the grain, the source from which all other health and life come, and there is no other. I have eaten foods baked with alternative grains, such as spelt. S-P-E-L-T. Spelt. Most of them are pretty good these days. We've had the gluten-free industry now for several years, and they've gotten better, haven't they? But it's not quite the same, is it? It's just not like pastries baked with wheat flour. The interaction is different. The texture is a little different. The whole experience is different. When you've tasted the original, you're just not as taken with imitations. There's just nothing like homemade bread, is there? Can you smell it? Jesus is the same. The longer we walk with Him, the more trials through which He walks with us, the easier it is to follow His voice, as well as to detect the voice of the enemy trying to sneak in. Because we know the voice of our shepherd. We're used to the voice of our shepherd. We know what he sounds like. Jesus describes this in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 5. My sheep know my voice, and they won't follow the voice of a stranger. We get used to the truth from the word. We get used to the rhythm of keeping in step with the Spirit. We begin to expect a little adventure. We begin to look for opportunities to witness rather than opportunities for comfort. We begin to act from love, not just a sense of obedience or obligation. Rather than His rules or our problems, He Himself becomes our point of reference in every moment. At least, that's my understanding. I'm not there yet. Back to the bread. Bread is important both as a symbol and part of good nutrition. It has particularly important meaning for me and my dad. When I was young, the money ran out just before payday. And the food ran out too. We were out of normal food to pack for lunch that day. Now, we knew Dad was getting paid that afternoon, and we knew Grandma was making supper. So, return to normal well-fed was guaranteed, just a matter of time. But between breakfast and dinner, which can seem like a long time sometimes, all we had was bread and butter. So, for lunch, on that one day, my dad took bread and butter to work, and I took it to school in my lunchbox. I don't remember anyone asking me any weird questions. I usually ate too fast anyway for people to see what I had. But we learned several things from that experience. First, when it's all you have, bread is enough. When the bread of life is what you have, He is always enough. Second, it's good to go without every comfort for a little while. You appreciate the good things when you don't have them all the time. Third, a little humility, a little patience, a little trust is good for us to practice, especially in such a small way. Our faith in God grew from our experience as we experienced His faithfulness. I didn't starve, did I? My parents always tithed faithfully, and God fulfilled His promise and provided for our needs. And God has continued to fulfill the promise from Matthew chapter 3. For those of us that tithe, we know. We've been there. When we didn't see a way and God made a way, when it looked like there was too much month at the end of the money and God made a way, I'm seeing lots of nods out there. You guys have done this. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands on who's a regular tither, but I'm telling you, God will prove Himself, just like He promises in Malachi chapter 3. If you've not read that before, please go read it. It's important. Not just for obedience' sake, but for the strengthening of your faith. Okay, now I am going to ask for a show of hands. How many of you have actually made bread from scratch? Anybody? Oh, yeah. All right, a lot of you. It's work, isn't it? Show me those muscles you got from your bread making. Yeah, you got to push hard. You got to stir hard. It's not just a walk in the park. It requires patience because you got to let it rise for a little while. And you can ruin it in several ways, can't you? Burn bread is such a tragedy. Now, think of all that you put in to making bread. The time, the effort, the focus, the care. Now put those same memories and experiences to work in your imagination as you picture the Father designing us to experience Him in the person of His Son, the bread from heaven. Think of all the work the Father did so that His Son would be just what we needed, the bread of life itself. Jesus reminds us that unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it produces nothing. Seeds were made so that flour could be made, so that bread could be made, so that our needs would be met, and so God would be found and glorified. Now, unless you take the trouble to make it yourself, as some of you have, where do you have to go to get bread? You have to go to the bakery, the place where they make bread. And since no one can save themselves, you must go to the spiritual bakery, the body of Christ, to get the bread of life. You can't get life anywhere else except in Jesus. And he wants us joined to his body, his church, in order to have that life and to grow in it. The church is the medium through which Christ works and through which the bread of life is distributed. Now, you can meet Jesus apart from the church, as many Muslims and other non-believers have, but he doesn't let you stay there. The first thing Jesus told Paul to do when confronted on the Damascus Road was to wait for the ministrations of a believer. And after baptism, Paul went to the local churches because he wanted to join the mission of the body of Christ. The world needs the bread, and only the church has it. Salvation can be found in no other name. We need to have it hot and ready for those who come hungry. Our community must be ready to open up, welcome in, and minister to the lost, as well as to each other, because we still need the bread of life too. So that's the bread. Let's discuss the throwing. Anyone play baseball? Anyone ever pitch? Oh, man. First time you strike out somebody, you're like, oh, let's do this again. Many times as we can cram it into 9 innings. I pitched. I loved throwing a curveball that was just out of reach, or a fastball too close to get around on, or a really unexpected changeup. But that's just one kind of throwing. Who here besides Tom McEndorfer plays disc golf? Any disc golfers? Tom's pretty good, and that's a different kind of throwing, too. Anyone do track and field, javelin, discus, shot put? Bless you. I did that for 1 year. Not easy. I was one of the small people out there. I looked at people throwing the shot put and thought, they could eat me. These guys are huge. But that's a different kind of throwing. Footballs and basketballs and paper wads don't all need the same kind of throwing, do they? If you use the correct basketball motion to shoot a baseball, it won't work very well. If you throw a basketball like a discus, it probably won't go where you want, and people will look at you real funny. And don't play volleyball with a shot put. That would be painful. The right motion for the right object, and it goes where it should do, where it should go, and goes, let me try that again. Goes where it should go, does what it should do. A good quarterback can complete a pass on the run 40 yards downfield into triple coverage. A pitcher's spin, timing, and location can strike out even the best hitter. And a surprise bounce pass can lead to an easy basket, even against the best defense. Tom can tell you how the right grip affects the trajectory and distance of the frisbee. And we all know how easy it is to miss when we throw paper to the trash can. So we see that in throwing the bread of life, we need to consider our audience and our message to put the needed words into the hearts and minds of the needy. Now, the law came through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ, who also wrote the law. He always knew what his audiences needed and when they needed it. Jesus used various story techniques and rhetorical devices to reach both the educated and the ignorant, the poor and the rich, the religious and the worldly. We can do the same. We don't compromise the truth, but we learn to make the connection relevant and personal to each situation. We look at the hungry, we ask who wants a roll, and we throw the bread of life to those who want it, and more if they want more. Jesus wasn't afraid to hold back some of his message for another time, though. He was patient with each person. So if that all sounded confusing, let's see if we can clear it up a little. Listen to what the Bible says about how to reach those hungry for God. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, it says, "Cast your bread on the surface of the waters, and you will find it after many days. Set a portion for seven, even for eight. One who watches the wind will not sow. One who watches the clouds will not harvest. For you do not know which may succeed, or whether both alike will prosper." Failure is not the focus here. Minimizing loss is not the focus. It's not a zero-sum game. Circumstances are not the focus either. The whole focus here is the potential harvest. Get the bread out there. Set the table. You don't know who's coming. It may be a lot. And if it's not, that's okay. Throw the bread. People are hungry. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 through 13 includes, "So shall the word of the Lord be with a sound like thunder, and it will not return void, but shall accomplish my purposes, saith the Lord." We don't need to try to change it or hide it or worry about its effects. We just need to use it and remember it. Matthew 28:19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." 2 Timothy 4:2, "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season." Did you know there's a preaching season? "Correct, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction." John 15:8, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." Hebrews 10:36, "Therefore do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. But you go and preach the kingdom of God," Jesus said to his disciples when they were sent out in Matthew 10, and to the men in Luke 9 who wanted to bury his relative first. In Mark 1 and in Matthew 4, Jesus says, "I will make you fishers of men." Fishing includes bait. Fishing includes hooks and nets. Fishing includes staying up all night. We can do that. We've got enough bread for that. Acts 1:8 and John 15:17, Jesus said, "You will be my witnesses, and I may not tell you when you're about to be one." Any of you ever been surprised by an opportunity to witness? Yeah. Matthew 5:16, "Let your light shine before men, so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Throw the bread. Put the homemade bread under the nose of the people going by. Don't be shy. They need the bread. It's good bread. It's the only bread worth having. John 4:36, "So that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together." It's a two-way street. God's word is sown in us and then by us, and others allow it to land in the soil of their hearts and grow and bear fruit. And we all rejoice together. Everyone goes home happy. Yes, we also will share suffering along the way. And sometimes we will drop the bread or fail to throw it well. But we stand in Christ, who never fails, who cannot be stopped, whose word will not return void. And so we will all one day rejoice together at the harvest of souls from the word of God sown during this life. Remember, his word works. It will accomplish his purposes. So we have bread. We're learning how to throw it. What about when to throw it? Well, look at what Peter and John did in the book of Acts, chapter 3. They noticed the man in need, and they took a closer look and invited him into conversation. Or maybe he invited them, it's not real clear. But they gave him what they had, as they had been given from God. You can't give what you don't have. If you've been given comfort, it's so you can give comfort to someone else too. If you've been given resources, it's so you can use the resources. They had the bread of life, so they gave it to someone who needed it. And God guided them to the right person at the right time. God used their conversation to work a miracle, to silence the church's local enemies, and to shine his glory even brighter through the disciples. Whether the bread of life brings a crowd of hungry people or the angry threats of rivals is not our concern. We are to share the bread. Go, preach, shine. Be aware and not intimidated. Be kind and firm. Be authentic and sensitive, because we offer grace and truth. Now, there are a lot of places where this branch of the body sows seed and throws the bread. We throw it at the laundromat. We throw it at the breakfast and the cookouts. We throw it at VBS. We throw it at Good News Club. We throw it in house churches. We throw it in our neighborhoods. And we throw it everywhere we go. For we do not know which will succeed or whether all of them may prosper. Who knows, said Jonathan, Saul's son, in 1 Samuel, to his armor bearer, whether the Lord will act, for nothing can stop him, whether he uses many or few. Our strength is not the source of victory. God's immeasurable strength that overpowers everything is our source. Circumstances don't matter. They are not an obstacle to God's plan. Paul plants, Apollos waters, but God gives the increase. No matter how good the planting and the watering is, or how bad the planting and the watering is, pray for the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. Seed sowers, weeders, waterers, fertilizers and cultivators, bread makers and bread throwers. Welcome to the home of the bread of life. Warm up your arm. Take aim with your life. For the harvest is ready and the word will not return void. Throw the bread. We have an inexhaustible supply. And we will all rejoice together. And someday, at the great feast, the wedding supper of the Lamb, we will all be home happy.